the past month, the Lord has spoken to me in the gospel songs that I've heard and preaching and just letting me know how much He loved me and what He's done for me personally. And I just want to thank Him for that. I want to thank Him for the opportunity to be able to preach here tonight, preacher. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 8. We're going to read two verses. When you get there, please stand up. This kind of goes right along with the song that they just sung today. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord, and I just pray that, Lord, tonight that you'll take control of my thoughts and my mind, Lord, take control of my heart, my speech, my actions, Lord. I just pray that I'll yield everything to you, and I'll yield to your spirit, and I pray that you'll speak to the people tonight, Lord, to change something in their life, Lord, to let them know how much you love them, Lord, and let them know how much you love other people, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the price of a soul. How many of you like to go to garage sales and stuff like that? I don't like going to garage sales. I don't mind going and looking, but I like to just go, and whatever the price is, I'll pay it. I don't like to haggle. Like when people go buy cars, I know preacher likes to get a new car just for the deal. And I think he likes to buy stuff and finagle just to have that competition of, did I get a good price? Me, if this is the price of the car here, I'll just pay. I don't like to haggle. But we haggle for our soul. People haggle for the price of their eternal soul. And if you ask people, when you talk to people, when you witness people, and I don't know, maybe some of you have not figured out the price for your soul yet. What is your soul worth? The rich man in Mark chapter 10, the Lord was saying, he said, "I've done all those things, Lord, that you told me to do. I've kept all the commandments. What do I lack that I can go to heaven?" He said, "Well, sell everything that you have and follow me." And after Christ said that, the man walked away. The possessions that he had weren't worth his soul. And there are people that you talk to them, their money and their possessions aren't worth their time to come to church. It's not worth their time to listen to you witness to them. It's not worth their time because their money and what they have is worth more than their soul. They don't even realize that they're putting a price on their soul, but they are. When you talk to people, their religion is worth more than their soul is. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" When you go try to go knock on doors and you knock on a door and you say, "Hey, I'm from Bethel Baptist Church," you'll get, that didn't make a noise, but you would hear, "Thud, I'm a Catholic," and they don't want to talk to you. Or you you say, "Well, what about a Muslim?" A Muslim's not going to talk to you about Jesus Christ. He's going to die and go to hell. His soul is not worth his religion. I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what religion you are. I talked to a man the other day. He's a Greek Orthodox. But I believe he's saved because he told me that Christ has changed his life. He used to believe of a God, but now he believes in God. He gave up his upbringing of he was baptized Catholic. He gave that up for his soul because he realized his soul was worth more than his religion. But there's a lot of people, and I pick on Catholics because my dad is Catholic, and people have that Catholic background. They're born into the Catholic religion. That's all they know. And I had a friend when I worked in a union, and I witnessed to him, and I said, "Ye must be born again to see the kingdom of God." That's what it says in the Bible. And he said, "I don't buy that." He says, "I'm a pretty good person. I go to work every day. I go to church. I give my money. Why wouldn't I go to heaven?" And he couldn't see past his religion. He couldn't see past well, he's Catholic, so he's okay. And to this day, as far as I know, he has never accepted Christ. So his religion wasn't worth his soul. I thank God that when I was a young boy, I realized I didn't have anything to put a price on my soul. Kids don't do that. Kids don't put a price on their soul. Adults do. We if you speak to an adult, they don't have time either, because their time is worth more than their soul. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and they're like, I don't have time to talk to you today? Or you witness to them and you give them the plan of salvation. Would you like to get saved today? And they're like, not today. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to talk to you. I don't have time to listen to you. I don't have time to say that prayer. I don't have time to go to, when you invite people to church. Well, Sunday's my only day off. I work 6 days a week and Sunday's my only day off. I'm not going to go to church. So you invite people to church so they can hear the Word of God and they don't have time to come. You try to find time to witness to them. They ain't got time to listen to you. Their time is worth more than their soul. The thing they don't understand is when eternity comes, there is no time. So time is worthless. Their price that they put on their soul is more than what they realize. But I want you to know that Christ put a price on your soul. We devalue our soul. Time is worth that. Cars, houses, all those things are worth more than that. But Christ's price that he put on it. Because as Brother Dave always said, or Pastor Dave, sorry, as he always said, Christ is the one that set the rules. He's the one that set what he had to do. He's the one that set the price for your soul. And do you know what your soul is worth? Your soul is worth everything to him. Your soul was worth him suffering. If Christ was saying, okay, Bob, what's your soul worth to you? And I said, well, give me a list. Because we always want to see what the list is of prices. Like when you go to a restaurant, you say, well, this looks pretty good, but I want to know the price. I want to know what it cost. And the price said, okay, it's going to cost me being beaten. I said, well, that would... If you have to take a beating from me, I'll be good with that. And he took a beating. He'll say, well, I'll just be humiliated for you. I'll take embarrassment and I'll take humiliation. I'll stand on the cross, stripped down naked, hanging there so you can see me. I would say that would be great if that's all it took. I'll take getting spit in the face by somebody for you. That would be enough for me, because I think that's the most vile thing there is, for someone to spit in another man's face. He did that for me, and he did it for you. I'll take a crown of thorns. I'll let somebody smash a crown of thorns on my head for you. I'd say, okay, that's enough. I'll take a scourging for you. And like I said, the Lord's been dealing with me. And I can't believe that he would do that for me. That my soul was worth that to him. My soul wasn't worth that to me. People value they put a value in their soul. And they devalue who they are. We devalue who we are as people. That God loved us so much. That he sent his son to die. And Christ came down and took a beating. Humiliation. Dying on the cross. For us. And you've got to look at it for you personally. Because we're all different. And we all value things differently. We all value friendship. We value kids. We value marriage. We value everything differently. What do you value your soul at? Christ valued it higher than you would ever value it. I don't think any of us would say, Christ, you need to die for my soul. You need to die for me. But that's how he valued us. So when you ask somebody, you ask, what's your soul worth? I don't know. Christ was willing to die to take a beating, to be humiliated, to leave heaven and come down here for everybody. For the worst person you can think of. He values their soul that much.
Yes.
We look at people and we don't value them as anything. We don't even want to go talk to them. We don't even want to go witness to them. We would rather not. We would rather, I think, sometimes see them burn in hell. And you look at me like, no, we wouldn't. But how many people have you not talked to that you would say, well, I don't want to go talk to that person. I don't want to go talk to that person. And we can all say, I would talk to everybody. But if we'd be honest, there's people that we haven't talked to because we don't really want to.
That's true.
What is your soul worth? If you've never accepted what Christ did for you, if you've never accepted that Christ took that beating and Christ took that punishment and Christ died on the cross for you, then you value your soul for something else. We don't have to pay for it. The only thing that we have to do is accept what Christ did. I don't have to give anything for it. I don't have to stop doing anything. And I tell people all the time, you don't have to go to church to get saved. You can get saved and never go to church. Because I've had people say, well, I don't want to get saved yet because I really don't want to change the things I'm doing. I don't want to change my ways yet, so I'm going to wait. I said, well, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to stop doing what you don't have to stop drinking if you want to drink. You have to accept Christ. You have to accept what He did for you, and that's it. We put a value on everything in this world, especially here in America. Everything is worth something. Especially if you go to a garage sale, everything is worth something that people have. Although it's really junk. They put a value on it. And their value is different than our value. So we value things. So knowing what Christ valued our soul at and the price that He paid for me, because the Bible says you're bought with a price. For what Christ paid for me, I can never buy it back. I can never buy what He did for me back. I can't even fathom that He did that for me. But the way I live my life, I'm putting a value on what Christ did. What is Christ's life worth to me? The things that you do and the things that you don't do, you're putting a value on what He did. He died for your sins. But people think their sin is more valuable than Christ's life because they continue in their sins. Although that's what He died for. Christ told the adulterous woman, go and sin no more. Christ, and yeah, we're all sinners and we're going to sin. Christ doesn't want us to sin, though, because that's why He died for us. But when we do the things that we do, we're putting a value on what Christ did. We're putting a value on His life. We're putting a value on the things that He suffered. Him being beaten, is really not that big of a deal. After all, He was God. That's what people say. I've heard people say that. Well, it was easy for Christ to go to the cross because He was God. He was superhuman. No, He wasn't. He was fleshly too. He became a man. He became a human being, although He was God too, but He became a human being that had feelings. Because the Bible said that He was hungry. The Bible said that he thirsted. The Bible said that He wept. Christ had feelings just like us. So He wasn't superhuman. Although He was. He felt all that pain. He felt that humiliation. He felt the anger that those people had towards Him that were yelling, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. He felt the hatred that they had. Have you ever had anybody hate you? It's not a good feeling. And Christ had that. He had that feeling, but He still died for them. Because what did He say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If someone hates me, I hate them back. I'm human. We do that, right? Although we're not supposed to. We're supposed to love everybody the way Christ loves everybody. And that's where living in the flesh and living in the Spirit comes in. When we live in the flesh, we hate people. When we live in the flesh, we don't like people. When we live in the Spirit, we love everybody. You say, well, I can't love everybody. You can love everybody. And as I told the kids today, you can love somebody without liking somebody. You say, well, how is that possible? That doesn't even make any sense. Do you have family members? Do I need to say any more? We have family members that we love because they're our family, but we don't necessarily like them. And if we'd be honest, we probably all have one. Maybe two or three, some families. But I'm just saying, that's the example that Christ gives us, that we don't have to like them, we just have to love them the way Christ loves them. Christ loves them as a living soul. He loves them as somebody that's going to die and go to hell, or somebody that's going to accept Him and go to heaven. That's how we're to love. We don't have to love them like they're our best buddy. But we need to love them because they're valuable to Christ. Because He put a value on their soul just like He did your soul. And you're not worth more than somebody else. I'm not worth more than Him. You're not worth more than me. Christ paid the same price for everybody. It wasn't like when you go to a jewelry store, you're going to get a 2-carat or a 6-carat or a 0.5-carat, or like me, maybe not even a carat. Because I'm cheap. But there's different values of different things. When Christ looked at it, He valued everybody the same. Everybody is worth this price. So when we look at other people, I want to ask you, what do you value their soul at? What is their soul worth to you? To Christ, it was worth everything. To Christ, it was worth everything that He did for you. And if you think of what He did for you, and when I think of what He did for me, as you can see, it started to bring tears to my eyes, because I'm not worth it. But to Him, I am. To Christ, I am worth it. So don't let anybody ever tell you that you're worthless. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not worth anything. Because in Christ's eyes, you're worth everything. And it doesn't end once you get saved. It doesn't stop with salvation. He loves us all the time. He may not love the things that we do. I don't love the things that I do sometimes. But He still loves me in spite of me. He loved me in spite of me before I got saved. And once I got saved, I became His child. Now, if you have a child in here, you don't always like what your child does. You don't always like your child. But you will always love your child. That's the way Christ is with us. When we're not doing what we're supposed to do, when we're not living our life right, when we're not doing this, Christ still loves us. Christ still cares about us. And I don't know why, but that has been stuck with me for a while now, that how much Christ loves us. How much that He cares about us. How much, when you're going through trouble, when you're going through trials, He's there for you. He never leaves. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. When you find yourself drifting away from God, is God running from you? Is God saying, I'm trying to get away from you? No, God doesn't do that. God's following you, saying, I'm right here. And you're saying, God, I don't feel God close to me. Start drawing close to God. Start reading your Bible. Start praying. Start listening to preaching. Start listening to gospel songs that talk about what Christ has done for you, and you'll get closer to God. When you're going through hard times, pray. You say, well, prayer never helps. How do you know? We say, well, I prayed for this person and they never got well. Well, I want to tell you one thing. Debbie Zabel's here today. Amen. How many of you prayed for her? Amen. She's here today, so God answered that prayer, right? Amen. We prayed for the preacher. He's sitting here today too. So prayer works whether you think it does or not. And Christ says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you'll find mercy and grace in your time of need. That may not be exactly right, but that's pretty close to what it says. If He didn't want to hear our prayers, He wouldn't say, come boldly to the throne. He would say, stay away. Send me a postcard. Leave me a message on my answering machine. Maybe I'll listen, maybe I won't. God always answers the call because He loves us. Well, my question is, what do we value souls at? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, is witnessing to somebody giving of your time? Is your time worth more than someone else's soul? Is your time worth another person's soul? You say, well, I don't know. My time's pretty valuable. I make such and such amount of money an hour. So my time is worth a lot. Then you're devaluing Christ's life. You're devaluing what Christ did. And you're devaluing somebody's soul for you. Say, well, do you give to missions? That's not worth my money. Those souls in another country aren't worth your money? Your money is worth more than somebody's soul. Your $20 that you might give to missions. Because believe me, I don't think there's anybody that gives $1,000 a week to missions. But even that, somebody's soul is worth more money than that. But you've got to ask yourself, what is somebody's soul worth? And it all comes down to you putting a value on something, because that's what we do. And we do it without even realizing it. Well, I can't go witnessing on Saturdays. I can't go witnessing. And it doesn't matter what day it is. I can't go witnessing. Why? I don't have time. I got to go to work. I got to do my yard work. I got to do whatever it is. I can't go witnessing because I'm too embarrassed. So your pride is worth more than someone's soul. Your pride of maybe being rejected, your pride of maybe not being able to speak the right words that you think you can't say and maybe stumbling around and stuttering. But the Bible says that God will give you what you need to say in that time. God will bring all things back to your remembrance. God will take care of it. It's not your job to win their soul. It's your job to tell them what Christ did for them. But our pride keeps us from that. And if you'd be honest, you'd say, yeah, my pride got in my way a few times. Pride got in my way. Because we don't want people to reject us. Well, that's pride. Christ gave up His pride. He gave up all His pride for me. I should be able to give up some of my pride for somebody else. I should give up all my pride for somebody else, for that matter. Because if when I don't do that, then I say my soul is worth more than your soul. My soul is worth more than their soul. I had a neighbor, and I think I've told the story before. I talked to him a few times. He lived next door to me, and we didn't talk a lot because, you know, because he drank, so I didn't want to associate with him. He wasn't worth my time. One day we woke up on a Saturday morning, looked outside, and there was some police cars and an ambulance and a fire truck. Covering the road, his driveway. We had no idea what was going on. My neighbor, the guy who lived across the street, used to be the mayor. He got to go inside the house because he wanted to know what was going on. Well, he was the mayor. He was allowed to go in. He came out and I said, what happened? He said, that man died in his sleep. He never woke up. He went to bed, passed away in his sleep, so they're investigating to see what happened, but he died. Well, my pride was worth more than his soul because I never once spoke to him about Christ. I never once told him, hey, you know what? Christ loves you and Christ died for you. Christ gave his life because he loves you that much. My pride was worth more than him. Now, at the time, I wasn't telling myself, well, my pride is worth more than his soul, so I'm not going to go witness to him. But in reality, that's what it was. Or my time, or whatever it was, whatever reason I had for not witnessing to that man was worth more than what his soul was. And I can't imagine Christ sitting in heaven saying, well, why are you doing that? I paid the ultimate price for him. I already paid it. I already gave my life. I already took the beating. All you have to do is tell them. You don't have to do anything else. Just tell them. I can't do that. I don't have time to do that. Ezekiel says that if we don't warn, if we don't warn the wicked from their wicked ways to save his life, his blood will I require at thine hand. There's going to be a great white throne judgment one day. And I believe that we, the saved people, are going to be there also. I can't prove that in the Bible. It doesn't say that we are. The Bible says that there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, and he's going to wipe away all tears. But that comes after the great white throne judgment. So I believe that we're going to stand there, and we're going to see the people. And I'm going to see my neighbor again. One last time. And he's going to look at me. He's going to ask me, why? Wasn't I worth your time? Wasn't I worth you talking to me? And what am I going to say? Because his blood's going to be on my hands. Because I valued what I had more than him. So I'm asking you tonight, what is a soul worth to you? And only you can answer it. But I want to tell you, it was worth everything to Christ. Every soul. Your soul, my soul, everybody's soul in the world. No matter who they are, no matter what color they are, no matter what nationality they are, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Buddhist. And you say, well, Muslims can't be saved. That's a lie. I just heard a Muslim preach at a youth rally. He got saved as a teenager because someone asked him to come on the bus, and he got saved. If not everybody could get saved, then the Bible wouldn't say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then that would be a lie. Everybody can be saved. Christ put a value on everybody's soul. And it was his life. He valued it. What we value it doesn't matter. So when we don't witness to somebody, we're saying, Christ, your life really wasn't worth it. Your life really wasn't worth that person. And who are you to decide that? When Christ already made the decision. So you've got to ask yourself, what is Christ's life worth to you? For what he did for you. He not only saved my soul, he cleaned my life up, he changed my life around, he made it possible so that my kids could grow up in church. I didn't do that. Christ did that. He took me from a place where in a lifestyle that I used to have, and now I'm standing in front of you preaching. Which in itself is an amazing thing. So what Christ did for me, more than saving my soul, is what he does for us all the time. Because it doesn't just end at salvation. And how we live our life and what we do for him shows us the value we put on his life. What you do shows Christ what you think of what he did for you. And that's a sobering thing to think about. And yeah, you can never repay him, but don't use it as an excuse of not to do anything, of not to try. Because we owe him that. We owe him everything. My next question is, what do you value somebody else's soul? Do you value it more than you? Because when we don't witness to people, and believe me, I'm preaching to myself. Because I don't witness like I should. I don't tell people like I should because of my pride, because of my embarrassment, because of whatever. But I'm putting a value on their soul. I'm putting a value on them. And who am I to do that? Because Christ already put a value on it. It was worth everything to him. So we have to ask ourselves, what's a soul worth? And that's my question to you tonight. What is a soul worth to you? preacher.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. That was a sobering message. It was a thought-provoking message. What do we value a soul? Do we value a soul? Do you value your soul? How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven because I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Could you raise that hand? I know my soul's saved. Thank you. May put him down. How many say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'd sure like to be sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just put your hand up and say, Preacher, I really don't know if I'd die, if I'd go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell, Preacher. Especially after Christ did for me. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. I won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. If you're a Christian, let's examine ourselves tonight. Are we serving Christ like we should? Are we witnesses? Do we witness of his great love that he showed for us? Tonight, let me challenge you to go out this week and tell that close friend before they die about Christ. Tell that family member, tell that friend, tell your cousin, your nephew, your niece. Tell them before it's too late. Before some night you hear the ambulances next door and a man carried out with a heart attack. You say, I wish I would have. Well, you still can, but you still have the opportunity while they're still alive. Father, help us. Help us, Father, to have a concern for those going to hell, and help us to love the thought that you loved us so much that you gave all so we could have so much. I pray you'll help motivate everyone, myself included, when we go out. May we think about what Christ did for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.